السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. وعن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال: يا غلام، إني أعلمك كلماتي، احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، إذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك، وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. رواه الترمذي وقال: حديث حسن صحيح. وفي رواية غير الترمذي: احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. واعلم، تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة، واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر، وأن الفرج مع الكرب، وأن مع العسر يسر. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: For my kiram was respected and his brothers, beloved students. In this beautiful hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, he mentions that on one occasion I was behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the conveyance. He was a young boy, a young lad. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him: "O young boy, O lad, I want to teach you something." So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach this young child, boy, who had this impressionable mind. In Arabic there is a saying, Al-ilm fi sigar kan-naqsh fi al-hajar, that knowledge which one gains in one's youth, it is like the engraving on a rock. When a person engraves something on rock, then it lasts sometimes a lifetime. So that which we achieve, that which we attain, and which we absorb during these years of our youth, it sometimes will have an effect on our lives forever. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used this opportunity to teach this young boy some very important points, some important lessons that would assist him for the future journey. And the first lesson that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him: احفظ الله, protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, safeguard the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means effectively, whatever Allah ta'ala has commanded you to do, fulfill that command. If we will not fulfill any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have violated and we have broken the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is now unprotected. So each person can understand his context, that which command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focused upon me at any given moment. That means now, mashallah, the adhan was called for Jum'ah Salah. All of us have come to the masjid. We have now fulfilled that particular command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of Fajr, when the Muaddin called out the Adhan, if we woke up and sacrificed our sleep and we went to the masjid, we know for the boys, and for the men, the salah is in the masjid, ma'al jama'ah, with the jama'ah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one hadith mentioned, it is my desire to gather the youth of Medina and go around searching for those homes wherein the men folk are performing their salah within the confines of the homes without any valid excuse. I wish to burn those homes. Now that Nabi was rahmatul lil alameen, was a mercy unto mankind. If he had a desire to burn those homes, we can understand how severe it is to perform the salah in the confines of one home without a valid excuse. Of course, if a person has got a valid excuse, he's very, very sick, or there's some kind of obstruction or obstacle because of which he's unable to reach the masjid, then that is a separate issue. But without any valid excuse, performing the salah and missing the jama'ah is something which is detestable and apprehensible indeed. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to perform our salah with jama'ah, all our five salah with jama'ah. Our lady, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say that because many of the men unfortunately are performing their salah in the confines of their homes, we find many of those homes are already on fire. They're already on fire, metaphorically. Meaning there's some kind of issue or problem in that home, whether it's a marital problem or domestic problem. But that home is already on fire. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is advising Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, then protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Safeguard the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he's addressing a young boy, a youth. At that time a youngster, he's only interested in fun and entertainment and having as much laughter as possible. But remember, there is a famous saying in Arabic that person who protects himself, that person who looks after and fulfills the commands of Allah in his youth, Allah will look after him in his old age. And that is what the hadith mentions, اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. You protect and safeguard the commands of Allah, Allah will protect you. Today everyone is looking for some kind of security. It's become a multi-billion dollar industry, especially in South Africa, or rents in South Africa. So, security guards and camera systems and CCTV and outside beams and internal beams and whatever other security system there is, everybody is concerned about their security. And there's nothing wrong with that because we are living in a world of means, we have to adopt the means. But ultimately, the person can have the most elaborate security. The most elaborate security. And despite that, if Allah wants that particular thief to get in, he will get in. He will get in. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want that to happen, it will not happen. But the real protector is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Allah is the best of protectors. So, Nabi Kareem Sassam is saying, if you want the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want the hifazat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to come under the shadow of Allah ta'ala's protection and security, then simple. You safeguard and protect the commands of Allah. If you will safeguard and protect the commands of Allah, Allah will protect you. And then Nabi Kareem Sassam further reinforces it. اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدُهُ تُجَاهُ. You protect the commands of Allah, you will find Allah always in front of you. In other words, Allah will always be there to open up a way for you. In another ayah of the Quran Sharif, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. In another verse. Which means that person who adopts the quality of taqwa, that consciousness that Allah is watching me. We are approaching the month of Ramadan and we know our asatiza and our teachers, I'm sure, are explaining this aspect. That the month of Ramadan, the real purpose and objective of the month of Ramadan is to develop this quality of taqwa, which effectively means that Allah, the person is conscious that Allah is watching me. Allah is looking at me. And what stops the person in the month of Ramadan from quietly going into the kitchen and taking some food while he is fasting? It's only one thing. That nobody is looking. My father is not looking. My mother is not looking. My teacher is not looking. My ustad is not looking. But if I eat this food, Allah is watching. Allah is seeing. And therefore I cannot eat this food. Because my past would not be null and void, it won't be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that same consciousness could extend in every aspect of our lives, that the person, for example, in the exam room, he wants to copy from the next pupil, the teacher is looking the other side. Quietly he wants to copy and look into the next person's paper. But there's one thing that crosses his mind, that if I cheat and if I steal in this way, the teacher may not see, but Allah is watching. If I pass the examination cheating, can there ever be blessings in my study? The person who steals something, can there be blessings in that? The person walks into some supermarket and he steals some one or two products and then he eats that. That is haram, there is no barakat in that. And barakat is something which we cannot quantify, we cannot see, it's not something which is tangible. It is not something that you can touch and see. But it's something that you experience, that the person suddenly will witness within his life that there's so much of uniformity and there's so much of ease and prosperity. And suddenly when the person disobeys the command of Allah Ta'ala, or for example does things of this nature, where he is dishonest, where he is deceiving the customers, then Allah Ta'ala removes the blessings from that business, and then the person finds that there's nothing but misfortune and problems and disasters and robberies. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is writing to Abdullah ibn Abbas that you protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make a way and Allah will solve every problem of yours. Allah will find a solution for every difficulty of yours. So O youth, O young students, you are at a very prime time in your lives. And if you look after this particular period in your lives, if you look after yourself and you safeguard the commands of Allah in your own life, then you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you in the later stages of your life. There was one great muhaddith, he was walking by with some students and he saw an elderly person who is extremely weak and he was feeble, he had no energy, he was dependent on many, many people. So he said to them, he said that ضَيَّعَ اللَّهُ فِي صِغَرِهِ فَضَيَّعَهُ اللَّهُ فِي كِبَرِهِ. He said that this person, he broke the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was young, in his youth. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abandoned him in his old age. Of course, it doesn't mean that every old person who is weak, that it must be that when he was young, he broke the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was one particular incident and case. But the system of Allah is that if a person looks after the commands of Allah in his youth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him prosperity, will grant him good health, will grant him blessings in his latter days, his older days. So this was the first piece of advice that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu received from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to safeguard the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Nabi Kareem also mentioned to him, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, that if you have to ask of anyone for any need of yours, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn your attention and your gaze to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For after all, Allah ta'ala is the best of helpers. Allah ta'ala is the one who can really assist the person. Sometimes we put our gaze onto others and then we go to that person to seek help, and then that person says, no, look, I cannot help you. Now the person feels despondent. He says, well, I expected him to help me, but he's not there to help me. And then when all avenues are closed and we find no one is there to assist us and help us, then the person says, now let me turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should not be the case. Do not put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last on the list, but rather turn to Allah first. Turn to Allah Ta'ala first. Even in your youth, you are coming to the examinations, for example. You have got some major presentation or assignment that you have to do. You are concerned how you are going to achieve it. Perform 2 rakat salah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. But of course, you have to study first. You have to adopt the means first. The person cannot sit in the classroom not paying attention to the lesson, And then afterwards he comes to the masjid and performs two rakat, salah, ziyadah, then now wahi, the examination. Some students, they wait in the exam room for some wahi to come from Allah, some revelation to come. So the person has to study it first. So he will adopt the means, he will study. And after he adopted the means, then he will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On this note, one person came to one great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, Maulana, make dua, Allah ta'ala gives me a child. So Hazrat said, no problem, make dua. So he came on another occasion, said, Hazrat, make dua, Allah gives me a child. Making dua. So, what third occasion when he came, so the Hazrat asked him, that brother, so how long are you married? So he said, no, I'm not married. So he said, you're not married, first you need to get married, then ask for, and then make dua, then Allah will grant you a child. But of course, today we're living in a time where many children are born out of wedlock, not even, there's no marriage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such kind of activities. Those who engage in such kind of activities, then thereafter there is nothing but disaster. One wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some couplets in Urdu. We will mention the Urdu and then translate it. He says, Ye mana maasiyat mein mujhe imana todi lazzat hai. Ye mana maasiyat mein mujhe imana todi lazzat hai. Magar us paalne wale se ek aisi bagawat hai. Zara ki der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaz-o-Aabu ka tafun karna ek aisi khifafat hai, which means that we accept that in sins and in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is some enjoyment. There is some enjoyment. Those people who go to the clubs and cinemas and discos and theatres and gambling dens, they're getting some kind of enjoyment. Otherwise, who would go there? But what kind of enjoyment is that? Is that true enjoyment? The reality is that that is stolen enjoyment. It is like the example of a person who has hijacked the Rolls Royce. So he hijacked the Rolls Royce, now he's enjoying the vehicle, he's driving, enjoying all the luxuries and all the bells and whistles that they say of that particular vehicle, beautiful ride, and comfortable ride. And then suddenly he sees in his rearview mirror the blue lights, the police vehicles, he has the helicopter hovering above. Now, all that enjoyment that, as far as the vehicle is concerned, is not even paying any attention. Now his only figure and concern is how he can escape as quick as possible. Now he's trying to escape for his life. This is what happens when a person tries to get enjoyment in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person goes at one rave club and one disco, he goes to the next one and to the next one. The person pops one drug in his mouth, then he takes another one, then he takes another one. The person goes on a high, then he needs to increase the dosage. Then what happens eventually? So he said, yes, we accept that in sins there is some enjoyment. Magar us paalne wale se ye kaisi bagawat hai. But remember, that Allah who gave you your eyes, that Allah who gave you that faculty of sight, that Allah who blessed you with your ability to hear, to then use that faculty to disobey His command, what kind of rebellion it is against your Allah? Imagine a husband or the teacher, for example, gives a student a pen as a gift. He says, you've been a very good student. You've been paying attention to the lessons. I'm giving you this pen as a gift. Now that student takes that pen and he goes to the teacher's car and he starts scraping on the teacher's car. Can you imagine how upset the teacher would become? He says, I gave you this pen to use so that you can learn your lessons and you can increase your knowledge. You took this pen and you started doing things like this. The teacher will become so upset that he may even take that pen back, and in future he won't give any gift to that student again. In the same way, Allah has given us bounties. We take that same bounty of sight and we use it to break Allah's very command. We take that same bounty of hearing and we use it to violate Allah's command. So what a rebellion it is against Allah Ta'ala's command. Zarasi, deity, lazzat, a little while of enjoyment, a few moments of enjoyment. Zarasi, deity, lazzat, hamesha ki nadamat hai. But the regret, the remorse, the shame, the humiliation that follows thereafter, sometimes it lasts forever. I recall an incident which took place in the life of our latest Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, where some youngsters came to him. They were of course of the Quran Sharif. It was the month of Ramadan. The fathers had trusted them. They were performing Taraweeh at a certain venue. They had informed their fathers they would be finishing on a certain date, but the reality was they were finishing one or two days before that. They carried on, took their fathers for a little bit of a ride. And what they did when they finished, unfortunately Allah protect, they got involved in some such sins, where they eventually ended up with women of loose morals. They came back to Morana. They said, Morana, make dua, we have been tested HIV positive. HIV positive. But I still recall clearly our late Maulana Padasa Rahmatullahi, how he cried that these are the flowers of the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What has happened to them? So few moments of enjoyment. Yes, they got a few moments of enjoyment, but now the regret, the remorse, the crying, how they say to themselves, how we wish we did not do this. So remember, O youth, this is the time to sacrifice. Allah is watching the sacrifices that you make. Allah is witnessing that youngster who sacrifices his temptation, his evil desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that evil desire is there. He wants to look, he wants to chat, he wants to commit that sin. But he says, Ya Allah, for your pleasure, I will take this knife of taqwa, this knife of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will place it on the throat of this, metaphorically, on the throat of this evil desire. I will slaughter this evil desire. My heart will be shattered for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if my heart is shattered into a billion pieces, at least I can say on the day of Qiyamah that Ya Allah, maybe I could not sacrifice my life, but Ya Allah, I sacrifice my evil desires for your pleasure. Can you imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person? So respected children or youth, protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can just take this lesson, then alhamdulillah we have really benefited. Any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, safeguard it. Protect that command of Allah. Allah will protect you. Allah will safeguard you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant firstly myself and all of us the ability to implement these wonderful qualities in our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to prepare ourselves, especially for the night of Sha'ban, Laylatul Bara'ah, the 15th night of Sha'ban, extremely beneficial night in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven. Al-Min Mustaghfirin Aghfiru Lahu. Allah calls out, is there anyone seeking forgiveness? I may forgive him. So let us prepare ourselves for that 15th night of Sha'ban and preparation for the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdu lillah.
لله. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأكمل لنا ديننا وأتم علينا نعمته ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا فلا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا دخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها فخالق الناس بخلق حسن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام فيا معشر الإخوان اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن وذروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن واعلموا أن الدنيا خلقت لكم وأنتم خلقتم للآخرة وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا له ولعد وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان ولا تقنطوا من رحمة الله فإنه أرحم الراحمين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، من أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يرى